The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation. Mike Campion here with Callum Ellison. This guy does much of our paid traffic for our clients, not to mention is all the way in the UK. So hello to our UK fans out there. We got a native on. Either that or a guy with a real thick fake accent. We'll let you be the judge. Callum actually had a great idea for today's share. We talk a lot about how to improve your paid marketing, which is obviously important. And one of the things that I think we take for granted, but as we start working with our clients, we notice that you guys don't take it for granted. So it's something that we need to make sure is first and foremost, certainly if you're not working with somebody, is how to track. So a lot of times people will test paid any sort of advertising, but if the pain is worse when it's paid advertising, and say something like it didn't work. And then as a coach, I come in and go, great, how much did you spend? How many leads did you get? How many, you know, bids, how many sales? They're like, nothing. And I'm like, is it really nothing? Or is it just, that's really the lazy man's way of going, I didn't really try. I wasn't a millionaire in the next day. So I equivocated that to nothing, which ain't great. So let's dive in. One of the issues about Facebook, Insta, Google, I haven't done a ton of TikTok, but I'm guessing it's the same, is they will bury you in data. Like one of the strategies I've heard for lawyers is if, you know, Callum's team is suing my client's team or vice versa. And I'm like, I want discovery. I need this stuff. They'll bring over boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. And the truth's in there, but until you know where it is or where to look, the boxes are almost useless. And I think Facebook, intentionally or unintentionally, will let Callum you could be the judge, and Callum, if you've got any feedback, you can give it. Gives you boxes and boxes of data. In my opinion, 98% of it for 98% of the time is completely, I wish I could say useless. It's worse than useless because it obscures the important stuff and you can't separate the signal from the noise. So then you're like, because I've got 1,000 data points and I don't know which ones are important or how they work together, I will look at no data points. And then you get your head handed to you by paid traffic and go, paid traffic doesn't work. All right. So that's the table I will set for Callum. Serve the meal, baby. Talk to us.
Yeah, well, just on the last thing you said, the best example of that for any listeners out there that already advertise on Google and Facebook is they have these things they call recommendations, right? So you go onto Google and it'll say your optimized score is 78% and you think, oh, well, surely it should be 100%. And they hit you with all these recommendations that will gain you certain percentage points. So you presume, oh, Google must be helping me out, right? Like that must be the important things to focus on. So you go through all these things, oh, connect this, update this, add a customer list and things that really are taking you away from the fact of, one, how much are you spending? How many clicks are you getting? Do people engage with the ads? All of these things become secondary because you think that the easy to find and important information would be on the surface level, which it kind of always isn't. So for tracking, really, the two kind of separate avenues are, one, what should you be tracking from a metrics to prove that your marketing is or isn't working? And then the other side of it, which Mike, I've learned a lot from you while we've been working together, is how do you then translate that into where you should put your advertising dollars and what does it mean financially from the internal workings of your business? So I guess to tackle the, what I'd call the easier side first, right, is if you're running paid ads, first thing we always say on this podcast is don't expect to be a millionaire overnight. You need to be able to put enough money in to gain and learn something. And that doesn't necessarily mean a conversion or a sale or a lead. It doesn't need to be, okay, I put in $500 and I got one lead. Oh, so I have to pay $500 for every lead? Oh, Facebook doesn't work for me. I'll just leave it. Instead, it's looking at what are the metrics and can you track that data and keep an eye on it on a spreadsheet or learn how to use Facebook to track it for you. Of that $500, what else did you learn? So how many people clicked over to your website? How did they engage on the website? How long did they spend there? Are you paying a lot to get somebody to the website? That might mean that you're in a really competitive market and you have a lot of other people there. There's all of these metrics that, you know, we teach clients, such as click-through rate and cost per click and cost per impressions, all of these different metrics that you can track internally. And Facebook does provide you and Google does provide you if you know where to look, which essentially is a formula that's saying to you, hey, these things are working in your advertising. So people are attracted to it or they're not, or they're, your call to action is working and it's driving people to the next action you want them to take, or it's not. And you can answer all of these questions. to then narrow down what do you need to change in your marketing. The other side of it, and where it gets a little bit more tricky, is obviously it's not free to be able to do that. If you could just play around and you get all this free data, you'd be happy, right? But instead, you obviously have to fuel that machine, keep adding the fuel in, which is the dollars you need to put in. So the question a lot of people ask me is, well, how much do I need to spend in the first month? Or how much is a good amount to spend per day? And the answer varies for a lot of people, but the generic answer that everyone seems surprised with, unless people have really deep pockets, normally the figure is higher than what you would initially say. And you'd think, I should be able to get what I need from 500, from 200, when actually to really get valuable data, and if you're dead set on building a really good long-term business, you need to be prepared to have that upfront cost, your cost per lead be much higher than you want, and just trust that if you find the right learnings, the graph's going to come down and eventually you're going to get a cost per lead or a cost per conversion at the rate that you want, which, you know, Mike, you know, from the clients that you work with, a lot of people presume that's going to just kind of do itself and come by magic, and you can kind of just set up your ads once, set your budget $15 a day and you just leave it and the kind of leads will come. But unless you're tracking on a monthly or weekly or, you know, whatever you want kind of basis, those metrics is going to be difficult to kind of find out when you should add more fuel and collect more data and you're on a roll and things are trending in the right direction, and when you should maybe take your foot off the gas and go, okay, actually, you know, I've tried this enough. I think I've filled in all the data boxes that I care about and it's not looking too promising. So perhaps I cut the budget and I, you know, try a different platform or a different type of advertising. So yeah, they're the kind of the context of the situation is two-sided. There's the surface level metrics of how your ads are doing, and then there's the kind of internal workings of your business of how do you get those metrics? How much fuel should you kind of put on the fire, which I know, Mike, maybe you can speak to kind of how you determine that based on return on investment, because I know you're pretty, you know, linear with your pattern of like, if you're hitting this sort of number, then this means go. If you're hitting this kind of number, it means, okay, you know, maybe don't go as hard.
Yeah. So I've been taking some notes in the background because you hit on such good stuff. I want to unpack a couple of things, Cal, and then I'll respond to your kind of when do I start? When do I stop? And again, without patting ourselves on the back too hard, two things. One, I think all of us as owners of cleaning companies will be a lot more effective and have a lot more reach and growth and scale if we really look at ourselves in the marketing business, not in the cleaning business. The cleaning business is very low profit. The marketing business is very high. So if we are marketing for services for our cleaning company, that's why for you commercial folks out there, there are franchises that take 20 or 30% of the profit, or 20 to 30% of the revenue, i.e. 90 to 100% of the profit. Because they know how to get clients. So they get, I'm in the marketing business. I will take all the profit for 20 or 30% of the revenue just because I know how to get clients. So I want to encourage you that marketing is a big deal. That said, marketing is still a global thing. That's a big deal. So I'm a pretty good marketer, but Callum knows a lot more about day-to-day Facebook, and that's why he's here, right? If I could just, like, the concepts of marketing, as long as you're marketing to humans, generally stay the same in terms of understand what they want, learn how to communicate them, put a compelling message with an offer that is too good to say no to in a place that they'll see. Those were true in the 1900s with newspaper ads, and they'll be true in the 2400s with whatever cool thing they got going on now. So that part you really want to be an expert on. But when it comes to the very specific details of, you know, 20 years ago, Yellow Page marketing, writing a really compelling ad would have been important, and knowing how to best, should I use color or not? Where should I place it? What should I pay? How should I do it? Now there's several Yellow Pages. What do I do? There were those sorts of questions. But the basic marketing and what kind of copy should I write? What kind of call to action should, was exactly the same. And then that got overtaken by Google, which got overtaken by Facebook, which got overtaken by Snapchat for a half second, then Instagram, and then Facebook bought Instagram. Now TikTok's about ready to swallow them. In 5 years from now, we'll be talking about the new thing, right? So the marketing concepts stay the same, but the execution per platform, you need a Callum or an expert that's like, this is what I do all day, every day, right? You can be an expert on marketing. You just kind of keep that flywheel going. But if you want to be an expert on Facebook advertising in 2023, it's kind of a full-time job. So that's the first thing I want to say. Second, if you want to be really good at it, second, what you focus on matters. The example that Callum gave is Facebook will give you data. And here's the other problem. You use Google specifically, here's your suggestions. Here's the trickiest part about it. some are really good. Like, so Facebook, sometimes they will tell you stuff that is really good, and sometimes they'll tell you stuff that's not helpful at all, but they don't tell you which is which. So now it's like, if they always lied, easy, ignore them. If they always told the truth, easy, do what they say. But when sometimes it's, and sometimes it's a shade of gray, like this could be helpful for somebody, but not you in this situation. Now you have no idea what to do. So what you focus on matters. And the offline version of this for especially commercial is, I'm a small business, minority owned woman, blah, I'm going to go get all these certifications. So we go, and I love you ISSA, but I'm going to get my certification in this and some other human to give me a gold stamp. And then you get all those things, you're like, okay, money, or okay, people, come on in, like let the money roll. And it never rolls, right? So Google and Facebook will give you a lot of certifications and like, do this, do that, like check these boxes, and you start feeling like you're getting work done. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to who's your person, what message you're going to speak to them, what offer is going to make them take action. And we skip that stuff because we're too busy jerking around with, you know, Facebook saying you should do this, or, you know, Google saying format it this way or add this thing. Last thing I'm going to say, and then we'll get to the ROI, is expectations matter. A lot of times we come into paid traffic and we think it's this magic fairy tale that we're just going to throw money at it and be billionaires tomorrow. And then when it doesn't happen, we say it doesn't work. Or some of it, give you some old guy advice. Back in the day, we did that. It was called direct mail. So you literally pay a copywriter, be a copywriter. You might spend thousands of dollars or hundreds of hours with a long form sales letter, and then you'd send it out, and each one might cost a buck. And to really test it, you might need to send it to 2,000 or 3,000 people. And then you have to wait 2 weeks, and then you, like, it takes forever. And to spend $5,000 or $10,000 or $50,000 in a year to really get a sales letter that worked and kicks butt. Everyone's like, yeah, obviously that's to build a multi-million dollar business. That's what happens. But then when we come to paid ads, it's like, hey, you might have to spend $2,000-$4,000 over a span of 2 or 3 months to really test this and get instant testing. You can spend $100 today on a headline and offer, get instant feedback from the market today, right now, at a buck a piece as to whether they raise their hand or don't. So come in with a reasonable expectation, right? If you're comparing it to some magic ATM that doesn't exist or something, some jerk sold you on Facebook, like, hey, buy my course and you'll be a billionaire. Well, you get what you get. But if you compare it to some other stuff like direct mail or something like a TV ad or a billboard or any sort of physical thing that you spend thousands of dollars on, or postcards, you get 10,000 printed and you send them out and maybe they work, maybe they don't. Or doing a sales call, right? I did one and I didn't close the guy and get rich, so I quit, right? Or I did a bunch and my message sucked and it might take a while. So just have reasonable expectations. And if you compare paid traffic to some magic bus that to billions, you're going to be disappointed. But if you compare to other real life stuff that you probably are familiar with on marketing, it's still a pretty good buy if you get the data, right? So same thing with the direct mail. If I put some crappy, hey, I clean crap for money. If you have some money, call me right now. Here's my number. If I send that out to 10,000 people and spend $10,000, the likelihood of me getting a call is pretty low, right? So I might have to send another and another. Just make sure you're comparing it right. Last thing, and I'm going to turn it back to Callum. His question on when do I turn it off? When do I turn it on? For me, that depends on your goals and your bank account. But I'll give you an example. I'll give you two examples, and you'll probably be able to see where you fit and make your own decision. The cell phone companies, they might spend $2,000 to acquire a customer for $142 a month, right? And you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it depends. If that customer stays for 8.5 years, that's a pretty good ROI. But you have to have pretty deep pockets for them. That would look like being a publicly traded company. So they can go to the market and go, hey, market, if you give me $100 million, I can get, you know, X amount of clients that will be worth $4.2 million a month for the next 100 months. Oh, well, there's a good ROI. But if you don't happen to have $100 million sitting around and you don't have access to that kind of capital, even if you get that math, that may not be for you, right? So for littler companies with us, I like getting my money back within 30 days. So if I will just use residential because it's easy. If I'm looking for residential, my average client is $300 and my cost of goods sold is half. That means I make $150 in profit for every new client I get every month. So if my average client stays 2 years, that's $3,600 in gross profit. So if I spend $1,000, that's still a 3.6 time return on my investment. Not bad, but I have to pay that $1,000 now to get my $150 back. I'm probably not going to be able to do that. So for me, a slam dunk is if I get all my money back today. So if I sell a $300 client for $150, I'm done, because I'll take that all day, because that means I got a $300 check or credit card. I spent $150 to fulfill the service. I spent $150 on an ad. Wada bing, wada bang. I'm profitable right away, or I'm at least break even right away, and I'll be profitable the very next month. I would take it a little further and I'll go, I'll do the full 300, right? So even if, because keep in mind, I spend the 300 to get the account, but then I get the 300 right away before I've provided that service. And then I spend 150 to provide that service over the next 2 to 4 weeks. And then after that, I'm profitable. So those are the, whether you're like, I need all my money up front, or I can wait a month or 2 months or 5 months, that process of thinking about the money and when you get it back, that's how you want to think of it. Like how, and again, if you're only, if you've got tens of, if you're a multi-million dollar company, you could go negative. You're like, well, I'm only picking up 4 accounts. Well, you might only be floating $2,000-$3,000 to get $1,500 back today. And it doesn't matter if you start really scaling, that can change. Real quick, Cleaning Nation, if you can think about how you found out about this podcast, maybe a tweet, a Facebook message, iTunes search, some sort of Instagram post, the only way we grow is word of mouth. We don't do paid ads. We don't run ads. You are it. The only ask I have is if you're getting value, share the love. However you found out about this, if it's a review or post, whatever it is, do that. Pay it forward so the next cleaning company owner can change their life as well. Back to the show. Did they answer your question, Callum, or did I completely miss?
Yeah, and just the other thing that I would just stress in that is obviously in the example you gave, residential account, $300 average client size, it's really important for people to understand what is your average client or what are the clients that you are specifically going after with the type of marketing you're doing. So if you're going to run Facebook ads and you think, right, I want to run these just in certain zip codes, just for a certain household income, and I'm going to charge it, you know, a premium price, understand that in order to get that client, it's not a dream world where you can just pay the same price and you get to charge more. Yeah, it works, you know, not in a linear proportion, but ultimately, if you're looking in a more competitive environment and you're going to be able to charge a higher price, also recognize that. So if it's a $1,000 account you're trying to look for, change your expectations from if you were looking at, it's far easier to pick up a client for a cheaper price, right? Which a lot of people are kind of confused with a little bit in some of the clients we work with, especially people transition maybe from residential to commercial. And they think, oh, well, I was getting residential clients and it was $100 a lead. Like, that's great. And then they think, so that's how much a Facebook lead costs, and they don't differentiate the lead. So they think, well, I'll just do commercial and sell $10,000 contracts and it'll only cost me $100 to get it. Obviously, there is some differences there. And a really good way to kind of look at how competitive your market might be is, I don't think you can do this on Google, but you definitely can on Facebook, is if you have some really popular other cleaning companies or competitors in the area, there's a directory on Facebook where you can go and see who else is running ads. It'll tell you that, show you their exact ads. It'll tell you they're running 55 ads or 2 ads or anything like that. So if you want to advertise in a certain area and you know these names and there's established companies, see what they're doing, see what their call to actions are, what kind of ads are they running? Are they going really heavy with the paid ads? And then you can kind of find that balance between, okay, this might be a more competitive market, so I have to pay a little bit more for my clicks, which means I'm paying a little bit more for my leads, and I need to change my expectations for it to cost a little bit more. Or you might be able to go in and go, actually, no one's really advertising. These guys might have good word of mouth, or they do, you know, direct mail well, or whatever they do. But if I become kind of the master at the Facebook ads in this space, or I'm the first person to do it, and people start seeing me all over their phones, like, I can really, you know, make a good go of it. So yeah, I think expectations is a real key with that. And similar with the kind of metrics I talked about of, with the data you're collecting, also have expectations. So if, let's say, the benchmark click-through rate is 1% on your ad, don't think, oh, I'm going to launch my first ever ad and it's going to be 5% click-through rate and people are going to love it and I know exactly how to speak to my audience. Because if it was that easy, you could just go out and knock on doors and just sell to people. Like, it wouldn't be a problem, you know? So instead, treat it as a test, learn ethos of, every time you put something out there, don't expect it to be a home run. Just look for the elements within the ad that have worked, take the positives and carry them forward to the next ad and remove the things that didn't work, right? So if you have a really good engagement on the ad, but people aren't clicking through to your website, you go, okay, well, what about this ad made people click on it in the first place? So was it the hook and the first line that I used? Did I use some emojis? Was it that the image actually was really funny and it got people going? Was it the fact I used a video? Carry the positive elements. And then the negative of that would be, but my call to action didn't really get people to click to the website. They liked the ad or they found the video funny, but they didn't actually click to purchase my services. So that's the bit that you would then, you know, you take the learning element, you make some iterations, and again, you put a little bit of budget behind it and find those learnings. So yeah, the expectation comes on both sides. Expect, kind of have some realism with the money you're going to have to spend, and also have some realism with your skills and learnings and how well you understand your audience as the marketer as well. Because often we think, well, I know what I would like. I know what ads I click on. Like, let me just create ads that I would like, which is a dangerous and slippery slope to go down, because often we think that we are our own client and we think well, people are similar to me. Like, you know, I hire a cleaner and other people are going to want cleaning services, when actually there's a lot of nuances between the type of people and where you live and who you are and what type of property you have, all, and when, you know, children, pets, like all of these things are like little components that change how we view certain things and what we resonate with. And the only way you can really learn them is getting hands-on, or, you know, working with someone like myself that can get hands-on with the audiences that you're working with and really delve into what engages them and what doesn't. And you do need to keep a track of those metrics. And every time you're launching something, go, okay, so the click-through rate here got a little bit better, but this got a little bit worse and this got a little bit more expensive. And at the end of the month or the end of the week, wrapping all that up and go, okay, so these set of this strategy and these sets of ads and this type of messaging, we spent this amount and it was this amount of sales and it was this ROI. And then when month to month you're making changes, you should hopefully be able to see the pattern, how that changes. And ideally, you want to be spending a similar amount or gradually scaling it, with the cost of each lead going down because you know how to communicate with your audience better. The percentage of your bids to sales going up because you've become better at communicating with that audience person, you know their pain points and you're getting in there a little bit more. And then ideally that will mean that your ROI is significantly higher and you can go, okay, May was great. Like in June, let's turn up the dial a little bit and get to that kind of momentum that you want to get to. So yeah, unless you track all that, then it's just like the 10 minutes I've just been speaking, it's just me saying things and do this, do that. You need to get kind of quite granular with it and have some control over all of the metrics.
Cool. Let me, I love listening to Callum because he keeps bringing up things. I'm like, oh, I want to share this, I want to share that. So I'm just furiously taking notes. So I'll give a couple of responses and then I'll let you wrap the episode how you see fit, Callum. So first, Callum made a really good point when he talked about switching from residential to commercial. It's not just the, it is, but it's not only the customer value. Obviously it's going to be a little more competitive, but it's also, there might be, you know, 1,000 people right now looking for cleaning services residentially, and there might be 31 looking for cleaning services commercially. So it's not just the value of the client, but it's the number that there are, right? They're just more scarce, so they're harder to get. Second, and this comes into the first, is sales cycle, right? Like residential, typically, if they decide they want a cleaner, they're going to have a cleaner within a week. Commercially, they might have a low grade frustration with their cleaner for weeks or months, but wait for a contract to come up or something really to go badly. And you might have to be nurturing that lead, especially if it's a larger one, for weeks or months, sometimes years, for $1 million lifetime value. And they're often not going to go online, right? If I've got a $100,000 a year cleaning contract, I'm probably not going to Google where to find someone to clean my thing. I might. I'm not saying there's zero value there, but it just, you got to understand the difference in your client. That's why, again, whether it's the Yellow Pages or direct mail or Google Ads or TikTok, if you don't understand who your client is and what their motivation is, you're going to fail, right? The method is just the tool, right? If I don't know how to use a hammer or what I'm building, you can blame the hammer, but it's really the guy holding it. Second is, when it comes to, you know, Callum said a bunch of times, you don't underestimate how much you might have to spend or what's going to happen. So if you're like, great, well, what is it? Is it $1, $1,000, $1 million? How do I even know if I can play this game? For me, I just go, is it a positive ROI? And we talked about that. If I spend $300, how quickly am I going to get my $300 back? And when you start, almost always it's going to be a no. I spent $300, I didn't get any money back. So infinitely bad, right? Or I spent $300 to make $100 and maybe in 2 or 3 months, I'll make my 300 back. So most of the things you start with, the answer to, am I getting a positive ROI, is no. So I don't ask that. I ask, can I get a positive ROI and how soon? So like Callum said, we got to look at what actions they take or don't take. That's where the money is. So I'm okay spending $300, $400, $500 on ads if I find out they loved this ad. And they loved this. And by the way, how do you know that they love the ad? Because they clicked on it, right? They tell you. They hated this landing page. How do you know that? Because the landing page had a call to action and nobody took it. Or they loved the ad and the landing page, but they didn't love the offer, because, you know, so based on their decisions, they'll tell you what they liked or didn't like. So the question is not, did I make a positive ROI my first time out of the bat? Because Calum is really good at this, is what he does. And I'm guessing you make a positive ROI probably less than half the time, maybe less than 20% of the time. Not because you suck at this, because that's how this works, right? And I'll say it for myself, I don't want to speak for Calum. If and when I make a positive ROI the first time, it's more luck than skill. The fact that I'll make a positive ROI 100% of the time, just give me enough, you know, whether it takes me 2 months and $2,000 or, you know, a nickel in one day, that's some luck involved. But just give yourself permission to be like, can this get to a positive ROI? Do I have anything? If nothing's worth, and I'll tell you, for owners of cleaning companies, if you're looking to do Facebook ads, Instagram, you can get a positive ROI, I can promise you, certainly on the residential. Make sure you're looking at what action they take or didn't take and listen to that, right? As opposed to going, Facebook didn't work. What does that mean? They got a bunch of people to my website. Nobody did anything. Was that Facebook's fault? Maybe you asked for the wrong people to come, or maybe the thing that you put in the ad didn't match up with the landing page that you have. So they didn't take any action. So you've got to look at, you got to have a sober look at what they did and didn't do and why that was. And it feels good to blame Facebook. But if Facebook got you a bunch of traffic and you picked what traffic you wanted to see it and where they went to, and they didn't take the action you wanted to take, there's a good chance that that's in your, and it's good. It's encouraging, right? Because that means you can fix it. If it's Facebook's fault, you're stuck. And remember, guys, gals, the alternative to this is doing nothing and staying the same. You know, the cry of the broke, or not broke, but small owner of a cleaning company is, I don't do any paid advertising. I've grown completely through word of mouth. Which is great, but a lot of times they're like, I'm doing this 8 years and I'm doing $403,000 in revenue. And if you're happy with that, then great, God bless. But if you're like, I'd like to do $4 million next year, well, then you're going to have to do something different. So if it's like Facebook doesn't work or paid traffic, great, that's fine, don't do it. But what are you going to do? Most of the time, I'll just go back to doing nothing and then bitching that I don't, that nothing's changing. So you kind of got to put this thing in its box of, I hated the yellow pages back in the day, but I needed the leads more than I hated the yellow pages. So there you go. And I'm not saying you should hate or love Facebook, but you got to make sure you don't use Facebook sucks or paid ads don't suck or pay-per-click or fill in the blank. They suck. Great. But if you're using that as an excuse to do nothing, that's on you. So make sure if you're like, I'm not going to do that thing. I hate Facebook, or my people aren't on Facebook. They are. Fine. But then what are you going to do to grow? So don't use that as an excuse to do nothing and then complain when nothing happens. All right. There's my sermon over. Callum, wrap us up any way you see fit, my friend.
Yeah. The final thing I was just going to say is a big thing for people listening, especially if you're daunted by the idea of paid advertising, Facebook. You don't need to be any kind of digital wizard, young person, anyone to do this kind of thing. You need no prior knowledge. You just need the willingness to kind of swallow your pride, know that actually I'm probably not going to be that good at it to start with, and be able to learn. And then the key thing for me in a lot of the client conversations I have is you can mix this digital advertising with real world conversations. You can still be a human and use the things around you to inform it, right? So a lot of the times I do things with Google ads where I'll say to a client, just go and ask your friends or your colleagues or whoever it is, or even some of the cleaning clients you have right now, just ask them, like, can you just go on your phone and type into Google like what you would search? Just go search for a residential cleaner or commercial cleaner and just look over the shoulder or take a screenshot and just engage with what words are they searching for? Because they're a real person, they're searching for a cleaner, right? Then you can take that and go, okay, well, if they search for it, maybe someone else will, and you can inform that. Same with, you know, if you build up a great relationship with a client you've had for a few months and you get a chance to speak to them and you know that they came through one of your funnels on Facebook, engage in that conversation. Like, what was it about the ad that you liked? Or like, did you look at any other companies before us? Or like, you can also blend it with those real world conversations and things that are actually happening around you. It doesn't have to just be a case of looking at a percentage or a number of clicks or, you know, just looking at things on a laptop. It very much is real people at the other end. So yeah, that's the only thing I would say, because sometimes people get wrapped up with thinking you need to be like a super data computer nerd and you sit there and the clients either come or they don't. You're still, you know, you operate based on being a friendly, high quality cleaning company, and you can go out and make sure that you're doing that. So don't be afraid to put yourself in front of the camera in a video, or your colleagues or your employees, and show, yeah, we're on Facebook and this is a digital platform, but look, hey, this is the real people. We're just here to tell you about it. Because that's what people want. They want to buy into your trust and, you know, how good you are as a business owner as well. And they want to trust you to come into their home or their workplace and do a good job. So yeah, that's what I would say. Don't be daunted by the fact that we're talking about data and tracking, and, you know, it seems like a lot's getting added to your to-do list, but the rewards massively outweigh the kind of, one, the risks, if that's even a word, and two, the kind of the outlay of your own energy in the short term to get the ball rolling eventually will pay off when you've got something that can sit there with minor tweaks, and there's always people interested in your business. So yeah, that's my wrapping up.
Couldn't agree more. That, I think we've talked a lot about that. The cost is higher than most people think, but the reward is also higher than most people think. Mm-hmm. I think the marketing people do online, buy my Facebook course or whatever, they kind of, it's not that they overplay the potential, because it really is there. I think they underplay the time and money it's going to cost to get there. So then when we don't get there as quickly as we think it's a failure. But we wouldn't be talking about this if it wasn't a great opportunity. We've made millions of dollars for ourselves and our clients through paid advertising. So it's great. That said, quick little public service announcement. Callum said something great. Don't get overwhelmed, because if you get overwhelmed, you're gonna do nothing. So let me just make it super simple. There's two ways you can figure this out. You can your time and money and experience, which is great, or someone else's time and money and experience, which is great. So hire a coach, hire Callum, who's, I couldn't imagine, he's spent thousands, I'm guessing, of hours researching, learning, testing, spending money, blah, 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 blah. So you hire someone like that through us or however you want to go about it. And you shortcut all that, but you've got to pay him first time, right? Or you can be like, I'm going to spend thousands of hours doing this. Great. That's probably better. It's going to take you longer and cost more money, but at the end you'll own it. And then again, just make sure that I personally, again, public service announcement, I'd spend my time on the general principles of marketing and hire out the specific platforms, because platforms come and go and change all the time, whereas the concepts of marketing stay the same. But just give yourself permission to be like, no one knows how to do this. Callum didn't know how to do this. I didn't know how to do this. None of us were born marketers. We were interested in the subject and we got books and we paid coaches and we spent our own money and some of it went badly and some went well. So either be willing to pay the experience tax of your own time and money, which is fine. I think that's more valuable long-term. It's just way more costly. Or pay for a coach. Find someone else that's already done it and be like, hey, can I give you some money and pay for your experience, which is faster. But pain's a better teacher. Just, you get to pick your teacher, but there will be a teacher and it will cost money. You just get to pick who you want. So that said, if you'd like more of our help getting this experience, growmycleaningcompany.com has 900 podcasts. I don't think there's anything for sale, but there's a ton of information on how to grow your cleaning company. Check it out now. See you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.